Welcome back to the broadcast. According to Jim Loney from Reuters, winds increased to 135 miles an hour as it headed into the Gulf. The storm hit the Florida Keys, but did not get close enough to reach the vulnerable chain of islands with its most destructive forces. And then we see the upgrade put Rita in the same strength classification as Hurricane Katrina. Very interesting. Now, before we go to the phones, listeners, I want to connect a dot here that I've been remiss from doing so because I lost the printout. But Brent in Australia, I asked him what it's like down there in Australia with the gun confiscation in Australia, listeners. And so I want you to hear what Brent has to say regarding the gun confiscation in Australia. He says, I heard your question regarding the answer to your question. In Queensland, it is illegal to own handcuffs. Bows and arrows cannot be bought without a license. Slingshots are illegal, and it is illegal to own a flak jacket. Only sporting shooters in clubs and farmers can own firearms. In other words, I cannot go out and buy a gun. Australia is almost effectively disarmed. The disarmament of Australia started in earnest in 1996 after the Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania, where 35 tourists were ruthlessly gunned down in a broad daylight situation, most of them in close range at the cafe. A mentally deranged fellow called Martin Bryant was charged with the murders, but never received a proper trial. The federal government, led by close ally, actually it's close Bush ally, John Howard, refused to hold a royal commission into Australia's biggest mass murder, supposedly because it would disturb the victims. Investigations by a retired Victorian police sergeant, Andrew McLeod, indicate that the shooting was a black ops PSYOP operation. The shooting coincided with a major emergency services exercise in nearby Hobart that very weekend. Media were kept several kilometers from the site. Agenda 21 is highly advanced in Australia also. Farmers across Australia are being pushed off their land by green departments using legal bullying. And this is from Brendan, Australia, a regular listener to the broadcast. I appreciate that information. We need to work together as a global unit to fight global governance, listeners. That's the way I see it. And we do have some phone calls here, and let's move to them. Let's go to, hello, Linda in Wisconsin. How are you today?
Hello, Chris. I hope that I can keep this in perspective. I'm going to connect some dots. Yesterday when I was listening to John, he had on this Pastor Ted Pike talking about the ADLs, the American Defamation League, having this bill brought forward, the H.R. 2662, and it's also House Bill 1145, and I guess Barney Frank is one of those that are sponsoring it. Okay, here's what I see happening. I called my congressman today. I talked to his office person, and I also found out that with this, by the way, this is the hate crime bill, the federal hate crime bill, and of course, what this stipulates is this is actually against Christians speaking out against homosexuals or any kind of perverse activities. So
yes.
That's what this is all about. This is the government coming down on the Christians. What I found out is that H.R. 3132, which is the Children's Safety Act of 2005, that they're trying to attach that to H.R. 2662.
Uh-huh.
Now, what this young man read some of it to me, it was just open language. It had to do with the children's predators and being able to do anything they wanted to do. That would, now it didn't say this, but that would mean include chipping. Now here's where I'm connecting the dots. Tommy Thompson, who was the former Health and Human Services, who's now retired, and he's now working with a Florida-based digital company that is for the RFID chips.
Correct.
He has been going around to some of the public grade schools and talking to the children and talking to them about being microchipped. All right, now let me bring this in. For days and days now, we've seen nothing on television but the little children that have been separated from their parents.
Right.
So here I see the government, along with the schools, etc., bringing the parents together as well as the children, scaring them, saying, now look at this Katrina catastrophe we just had. We don't want to see you separated from your children. And also, this would go under the new health care system that George Bush has put out. And by the way, that bill is 1262, and that was by Hillary Clinton. That's her bill.
Okay.
So here we put all this together. We've got missing children, and we've also got children that are exploited, you know, the pedophiles. So now we've got the government and the powers that be that say, let's microchip them, but let's also microchip the children so that no matter what catastrophe happens, you'll be able to find your children. And this is going to try to be passed with this Child Safety Act. They're going to put through the hate crimes bill and attach it to that.
Now, that makes very good sense. Now, we need to have you review those bill numbers for the listeners.
Okay, it's H.R. 2662, and the Senate bill, which is the same thing, it's S-1145. That's for the hate crimes bill.
That's the hate crimes bill.
Mm-hmm. And right now, I was told by this young man, he said as of May 26th, it was referred to the House committee. But we know how sneaky they are and how they'll bring out something and vote on it when nobody knows about it. And then the Children's Safety Act of 2005 is H.R. 3132. And that was passed last week, the 15th and 16th of September. And then we have Hillary Clinton's bill, which is the new health care system, which is the microchipping of the children. That's 1262.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Is there anything I'm leaving out here? And also, there's another way they're coming at us. This is the court's anti-free speech decision. This was McCain's bill and Russell Feingold. He's my state senator. And this bill where you couldn't speak out against anyone that was running for, a government position, and that was to close the doors of free speech there. So that's another area where they're coming at us. I don't know what the bill on that is. I'm looking at the article, but I don't see the bill number. But I believe that's already been passed.
Well, it's very good that you're up to speed on this and that you heard that on John's show. We will have Ted Pike on, Reverend Ted Pike, on tomorrow on the first hour.
Government takeover of health care.
And I obviously you see the directions coming into place, don't you, Linda?
Absolutely, and the thing is, it's all of these little children that... Oh, and here's something else. Here, I'm calling you from Eau Claire. I called the Lutheran Hospital. This was a few years ago. A woman was on a talk show, and she said that since the early 1960s, the hospitals have been taking the DNA out of the baby's heel. Now, please let me get a little prophetic here. What does it say in the scriptures that he, meaning Lucifer, would have the power to wound his heel or the Achilles tendon, but that he, Jesus Christ, would be able to cut off the head of the serpent? I'm paraphrasing that scripture. But here we are, little newborn babies are having DNA extracted from their heel And then this is in turn being put in a vial. They're keeping these vials in Burnsville, Minnesota, and there's also a place in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to make a microchip and you're going to mark somebody, what's the best thing to mark them with? Wouldn't it be their own DNA marking code?
Makes sense.
So, and I called this hospital, and I asked them if they did this, and they said yes, they did it.
Uh-huh.
That they were taking the DNA from newborns.
Uh-huh.
So...
It all fits.
Okay.
It all fits.
So whatever that's worth, and you know, these parents out there are going to have to get their children out of public school, and they're going to have to educate their children. And I'm sorry for going on the biblical side of this, but you know, if children understand that they're children of God, then they're not going to get involved in this beast system. They have to know that God knows where they are.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
I appreciate your comments and information. We'll continue with your phone calls, 800-313-9443, and Masters of Seduction. Stay with us. We'll be back. Yes. Here we see from the book, Masters of Seduction. The purpose of Plank 10 of the Communist Manifesto is to combine the public educational system with government-mandated service. Once again, the purpose of Plank 10 of the Communist Manifesto is to combine the public educational system with government-mandated service. In Soviet Russia, the Communists achieved this goal with Soviet polytechnical schools. William Norman Grigg says, quote, in the Soviet system, children are placed on a career track early in life and slotted for occupation selected by the state. This design is being followed in American educational reform proposals such as the Careers Act and the Workforce Development Act. The School to Work Opportunities Act, H.R. 2884, the Goals 2000 Educate America Act, H.R. 1804, and other legislation were signed into law by President Clinton in 1994. Representative Henry Hyde, Republican of Illinois, notes, quote, when carried to its logical extreme, it, School to Work, chooses careers for every American worker. Children's careers will be chosen for them by workforce development boards and federal agencies at the earliest possible age. Statewide, workforce development boards have formed to study which labor skills are needed in each state to determine human resources training requirements. Of course, this will decide also where these human resources will reside. They will have to live where the state chooses according to what skills the state has chosen for them to learn. And that's an end quote by William Grigg. Communist communitarian leaders are preparing Americans for their role as new men and women, standardized human beings, and self-satisfied slaves whose development culturally, spiritually, and intellectually, well, by communist design, remain at the level of at least the least developed barbarian. Charlotte Isabeat writes, Goals 2000, this is a quote, sets in motion the final stages of the process for nationalizing education. And unless massive organized preserving action is mounted, the federal master will usurp the powers to dictate national curriculum development, textbooks, course content, teacher training, and certification, parent education, testing, achievement standards, and a great deal more for public, private, and home schools, end quote. So this is all connecting into what Linda was talking about as well. The connecting of the dots is very easy today. If those that have done the research, they can connect the dots. The listeners out there can connect the dots. Let's move to Eric. Let's move back to the phones, 800-313-9443. We might be interrupted at any time by Scott Stevens, but in the meantime, we'll listen to Eric, see what he has to say. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Fine, thanks. Yeah, no, the kind of stuff that's going on, too, with even the Fair Labor Standards Act, which, you know, there's the overtime provisions that are in there. One of the reasons is overtime. It bothers me that people don't look a little bit deeper into a lot of the language that's being thrown at us, like communist, socialist, all this other stuff. I mean, Hitler went after the Social Democrats. People who are quote-unquote, and I'm using these terms loosely, social democrats are those people who believe in public trust. There are certain things that need to be maintained within the public trust, like the highway system, that's one, or the railroads. Those should not be part of an enormous private trust because they affect so many people, and they're also an issue of civil defense and national security.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, though, is that everything that is or was part of either, quote-unquote, the Commonwealth or the public trust that was there to benefit us all is under attack. Like, NASA is a public trust. It's something that's supposed to guarantee the right-of-way, international and national right-of-way into space. And what's being done is everything's being privatized so that these guys have control over everything, so that at some point, if we ever do make it off this planet and we do survive what's going on right now, the only way you're going to be able to do it is as a slave, indentured servitude. These guys are setting up the same programs with slavery that were an issue in, you know, revolutionary times and for 100 or more years since. They've been trying to push programs like having the illegal aliens coming across the border work a program of indentured servitude for 6 years to earn their citizenship. That's nuts, and it's not like they're bringing these people through an Ellis Island in New York or like the one that was in California to teach them about our Constitution and Bill of Rights in English so that they can all communicate and bring up not only the level of history but knowledge of our Constitution and our individual supposedly inalienable rights. Instead, they're being brought in to where they're not taught English. It's almost like Babylon using language against us as another way to attack us.
You want to hang over?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll hang Eric over for the commercial from CNET. Former Bush official to get RFID tag, Tommy Thompson, the Health and Human Services Secretary in Bush's first term, and a former governor of Wisconsin, is going to get tagged. Thompson has joined the board of Applied Digital, which owns Verichip, the company that specializes in subcutaneous RFID tags for humans and pets. To help promote the concepts behind the technology, Thompson himself will get an RFID tag implanted under his skin. Human RFID tags have emerged as one of the more controversial technologies in years. Civil libertarians theorize that the chips will allow governments or corporations to track people's movement and behavior. Some Christians have said the chips are so evil they fulfill a biblical philosophy about satanic influences. And certainly this information is on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Also, remember the phone number for the Berkey Light with the free sports bottle has changed. It's 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Very, very, very important that you purchase Berkeys. You cannot have enough of them. You cannot have enough of their filters. For the future, you just don't know what the future holds, and I know many of you have them already, but you need to purchase them now, save them for Christmas gifts, if nothing else. Everyone will appreciate that someday in the future, I'm sorry to say, the way the control of water is being engineered, listeners, under the guise of the UN system. And once again, before we get back to Eric here, we see September 17th, NASA hopes to return astronauts to the moon by 2018 by using a distinctly retro combination of space shuttle and Apollo rocket parts. The space agency presented its lunar exploration plan to the White House on Wednesday and on Capitol Hill on Friday. Plans call for two rockets, one for astronauts and their exploration vehicle, and the other for cargo, the propulsion system, and the lunar lander. The idea would be to launch the crew exploration vehicle on the smaller of the two rockets, which still would be taller than the 184-foot shuttle. The crew vehicle would be perched on top. Once in orbit around the Earth, the capsule would hook up with the lunar lander and moon propelling rocket parts launched separately on a much bigger rocket and take off for the moon. Isn't that amazing? The funding for this and the engineering of this when we have catastrophes in the world. $300 billion for the next Vietnam in the Middle East mess. $200 billion to restore the former region by Katrina. What else happens next? Where's the funding coming from? Keep in mind the highway bill, $286 billion. And our national debt is approaching $8 trillion. Doesn't make much sense at all. Eric, continue with your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's global gulag, man. I mean, you've hit it, and your callers have hit it right on. These guys are insane, and fiscal management has been thrown out the door. Any kind of advanced planning, you know, not only for civil defense, but true national security, not foreign wars of aggression, are, you know, thrown out the door. It's mind-boggling.
Yes. But
things like Monsanto has actually come out, and they're trying to, they're using the discovery clause, you know, similar to like Columbus planting the flag and discovering America, or, you know, us planting the flag on the moon, for the DNA for pigs, saying that because they decoded it first, they should have the right, and this is not genetically engineered pigs, this is just pigs in general, the DNA coding for it, that they should have the right to it. And they've actually filed suit in an application to obtain the proprietary rights for that.
Very, very interesting. I appreciate your thoughts, Eric.
Peace.
Thank you. Here we see hospital and nursing home patients were evacuated, and as many as 1 million more people were ordered to clear out along the Gulf Coast on Wednesday as Hurricane Rita turned into a 150-mile-per-hour monster that could pummel Texas and bring more misery to New Orleans by week's end. All of Galveston, vulnerable sections of Houston and Corpus Christi, and a mostly emptied out New Orleans were under mandatory evacuation orders one day after Rita sideswiped the Florida Keys as a far weaker storm and caused minor damage. But listeners, the beat goes on, people. The mess is in place. The created crisis continues. Weather modification needs to be researched by everyone. Weather manipulation is the key ingredient in exposing the big picture in place at this time right now. This is it. This is it. Weather modification needs to be studied and researched and exposed by every one of us in this country. Roger Dodger, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And I'd like to ask the folks to grab their pencils so I could give out or repeat, as the case may be, the toll-free to the Capitol Hill switchboard. And I hope it's like juggling snakes, trying to just to keep track of these bills. We should all keep our cassettes running. And
right.
I would hope you or the callers would kind of open with just a minute or two. Grab your pencils just a minute or two. I'm going to be giving out these bill numbers and such, because otherwise we're not necessarily focused in to scribble this stuff down. And if it's perhaps not begging too much indulgence, you might ask Linda to call back and repeat those bill numbers.
I've got them here.
Oh, okay, great. I don't know if she pounded out HR 2662 in there. I wasn't focused in as I should have been. That was one of the ones Pike said we should oppose.
He'll be with us tomorrow on the first hour, and I do have that information here. Go ahead.
Yeah, great. Well, that was basically it. And then the toll-free, again, for the Capitol Hill switchboard was 877-762-8762. To repeat, 877-762-8762. And I'd like to ask you, Chris, I didn't know if I had been over your website finally about a week ago on to double-check the weather modification stuff, and I read through all kinds of highfalutin abstracts of technical papers and such. Is there any one particular or several citations or clicks that would make the case more? And then also, is you're primarily based on Scott Stevens and or other
Actually, what I'm dealing with is the U.S. Code and owning the Weather 2025 from the Air Force. Let me get to my website.
But just in terms of the technology, let's say.
The technology is kind of out in the open as far as I can see. You've got all sorts of different opinions about the technology, and I don't think there's any one of us that can document what the technology is. Do you, Roger?
Yeah, well, I did read a number of those HARP-type technical abstracts, and yes, they do cause all kinds of secondary emissions by bents and radio waves off the ionosphere. They use the term space weather to refer just to the condition of the ionosphere. And nothing I saw in there could, say, reflect downwards to lower than ionosphere weather phenomena. Now, well, maybe there's something there, but I didn't read it.
It could be that it's not there totally where it should be, but we certainly try to document as best we can, and certainly the statement by William Cohen in 1997 is very, very obvious and ominous.
Yeah, and I did read an unattributed paper on your website. It sounds like it was in the lingo of Scott Stevens. Maybe he wrote it, and it was interesting. Well, he repeated the same thing on with David Joyce there about apparently his model requires, quote, a pulling energy from space-time, unquote. So, you know, granted that while Newtonian physics was not adequate to explain our present understanding, so that required quantum physics as well, nevertheless, it's kind of, we're talking now Star Trek physics.
At this stage, we aren't privy to the documentation about how any of this is being done, are we?
Well, if he says that also sending these EMA waves up also would effectively pull energy from space-time, that suggests that the energy sent up would not be adequate to achieve that effect on its own. And so I wish I was, if not level of metaphysical certitude on this matter, at least, say, preponderance of evidence that could make the case for influencing or steering storms, etc. So I was less than convinced. I just thought you had a particular citation off of your site or something that would galvanize the case.
I can't imagine galvanizing the case when they don't tell us the truth. You know, well, at this stage of the game, we certainly have much in the weather modification section, but to pinpoint exactly how it's being done, I don't know whether any of us can do that at this stage. We aren't privy to the information, are we?
Well, yeah, but then it's not proving a negative. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not exactly in that category. I'm confusing the apples and the oranges here. I did note when Scott Stevens was on with Nori, then they were also into the quantum realm that is using scientific terms for, like, being able to control physical phenomena with one's thoughts, that is, external phenomena, which, he's all wrapped up, apparently, in Norrie's and Richard C. Hoagland's...
paradigm.
Well, you might say part occultism, and, paradigm, spiritualistic paradigm, you might say.
Right.
God bless,
okay.
And thanks for your forbearance.
Thank you, Roger. You have the Weather Modification Incorporated, weather specialist in cloud seeding and general weather modification, including hail suppression. We have the Weather Modification Association, promoting research, development, and understanding of weather modification for beneficial uses. The Department of Energy Weather Control, where they say weather modification, the intentional altering of atmospheric conditions to suit the purposes of humankind. How about Colorado's Weather Modification Permit Program? Step-by-step instructions on how to file a permit to modify the weather in Colorado. And they say answers to the 20 most often asked questions about cloud seeding in Colorado. Weather modification by cloud seeding, a status report, 1989 to 1997, a status report by William R. Cotton, Colorado State University Department of Atmospheric Science, Fort Collins, Colorado. Here we see the physical basis for seeding clouds. Quote, cloud seeding is the intentional treatment of individual clouds or storm systems for the purposes of achieving a beneficial effect without harming people or the environment. Dr. Vincent J. Schaefer, the father of the modern weather modification, conducted the first field experiments following his basic discoveries in 1946 at the General Electric Laboratory in Schenectady, New York. Since 1946, various inorganic and organic materials have been known to alter the physical processes which lead to the formation and growth of water droplets and ice crystals in clouds, end quote. Then, listeners, we have the Oklahoma Weather Modification Demonstration Program. They say, quote, to evaluate the potential effects and benefits of weather modification in Oklahoma. After 3 years of evaluation, the state government decided to implement the program as an official element of Oklahoma's water management strategy. A state law was passed in 1999 creating a new weather modification division within the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, end quote. And then we have the Oklahoma Water Resources Board Weather Modification Program. This is done by Darren Weeks, listeners. And you have the North American Weather Consultants. Extensive research done by Darren on weather modification, including Owning the Weather 2025. Also keep in mind, as a result of the tsunami at the end of the year, the end of last year, tsunami bomb, devastating war secret of the New Zealand Herald, dated June 30th, 2000, quote, top secret wartime experiments were conducted off the coast of Auckland to perfect a tidal wave bomb. Declassified files reveal. An Auckland University professor, seconded to the Army, set off a series of underwater explosions triggering mini tidal waves at a Winnipegoa in 1944 and 1945. Professor Thomas Leach's work was considered so significant that United States defense chiefs said that if the project had been completed before the end of the war, it could have played a role as effective as that of the atomic bomb, end quote. So a tsunami bomb developed in 1944, listeners. Where does that take you and your thought patterns? Does it make you want to go do some more research? Let's move to Georgia, North Carolina. We're about to hit a commercial pause as I see MSNBC with a line of cars leaving the Houston, Texas area. Welcome to the broadcast, George.
Thank you. I'd like to congratulate you on your efforts to educate the American people, or us Americans.
Well, thank you, sir.
But my own experience is that where I live, my contact with people, they're just, the country is totally lost. For the mere fact that 99.9% have no earthly idea what's happened to them, they don't even know that we've turned communist. They have no idea what's happening. They totally believe everything that's put in front of them.
I know.
And I live in a nice little country town.
Uh-huh. But I understand your frustration.
People are total believers. But anyway, I've voiced my opinion, and it should be out in the papers come Thursday. So I'm getting ready for the flack. But maybe it'll make some of them think.
Is this an opinion for the paper that you wrote?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And my opinions generate a response. I don't publish my telephone number, but they know it anyway. All they got to do is look in the book.
Maybe after the commercial pause, you might want to read that to the listeners, you think?
Well, it'll have to be from memory.
Oh, okay.
I just did it on the spur of the moment. I was listening to Red Elk the other night, and I got totally inspired by that man.
Uh-huh.
And since I understand what it is to be blessed, I figured, why not? You know, fear is the worst thing you can have in a case like this.
Oh, boy.
So just let it go, let it all hang out.
Yeah, absolutely, George. Good thought.
And, the easiest way to get hurt playing football is to hold back. So I figure that's the way it is with life, too.
Well, you've made a good statement, George. I appreciate your thoughts.
But I'm afraid it's all for naught, though.
Well,
especially looking close to home.
Well, let's keep a positive thought and keep working. I appreciate your concern, George. And my concern is right there with George, as yours should as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And misery. And welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. That's Poker Face. They were on last Thursday. Pokerface.com is their website. Support them, as they have little support from the major music industry. And that is obvious. It is controlled and suppressed. I just watched on MSNBC the cars leaving the Houston area and computer models of Galveston and the coast of Texas being swallowed up by the Hurricane Rita, lovely Rita, which is approaching a level 5 now, according to MSNBC. TJ in Minnesota, welcome, TJ.
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I want to help some of your listeners with this weather modification, some of the chemistry, and I'm not a chemist, but I've read enough over the past 6 years to know something about it. It's just like rubbing meat with a bunch of salt, Roger. It pulls the moisture. They load the atmosphere with barium salts, and for the conductor, the electrolysis of this is done with the fine aluminum particles. And over a course of time, they built a literal canopy, a petri dish, if you will, over the earth. And it's over a mile deep. It might be 5 miles. You could measure it with ordinary geometry for a while just by watching the aircraft at the right time of the day. But that is a sustained electric canopy over the earth. That's why you'll see a lot more ball lightning. That's why they're seeing northern lights clear down in the Gulf Coast, et cetera, et cetera. They also use ionization, which is becoming a military weapon, and the Israelis know about this. That's just an imbalance of electric charge in a molecule or an atom. And they do layering of clouds, so they can sustain a temperature and a humidity level in between the layers. They can gather the moisture. HARP may or may not be the biggest electric impulse into the weather modification. It might be the satellites or aircraft, antenna aircraft, putting the charge in to make lightning or tilt these large electromagnetic cloud masses can be done a number of ways. But basically, it's just you saturate the atmosphere with barium salts, aluminum, and the calcium. They've added calcium. That's for the ionization effect of tilting and moving the cloud masses. This is just the basics, and it's not quantum physics or rocket science. It's really kind of elementary.
Where did you learn your education about this?
I learned most of it from Clifford E. Carnicom and Will Thomas's two books, and doing my own analysis. Some of the lab work you'll see on them websites is my very own, or I contracted for it. I contracted it out. I cannot do that anymore.
Go
figure. But anyhow, it's not really complicated, but the barium salts are lethal and toxic to all biological forms, and the aluminum is acidifying the soils and the plant life to a severe degree, and increasing the soil conductivity as well. These are not good things. And Will Thomas's two books are excellent reading. Clifford Carnicom's website is Real Science, and it won't take you out into the quantum physics or anything cultic.
And that is on our website.
Yes.
AmericanExpose.com.
Yes. If you just read everything Clifford himself has written, he is a scientist. You'll be greatly enlightened, but it's not really complicated.
TJ, I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.
We'll be back to continue.